Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome. Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now we'd like to have you join us with our devotion. We'll begin with song, scripture, and prayer.
Glory, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you.
Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Today's scripture will be coming from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, starting with the first verse. Dr. Nux, how far would you like me to read down?
To the 23rd verse.
To the 23rd verse. I'll be reading from the Message Bible. It reads, "Friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you made your own. This message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, that you're in this for good and holding fast. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from death on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says, that he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time, most of them still around, although a few have since died. That he then spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. Fitting that I bring up the rear. I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, as you well know. Having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am, and I'm not about to let this grace go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any of the others? Even then, my work didn't amount to all that much. It was God giving me the work to do, God giving me the energy to do it. So whether you heard it from me or from those others, it's all the same. We spoke God's truth, and you entrusted your lives. Now let me ask you something profound yet troubling. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say that there is no such thing as a resurrection? If there is no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors, and everything you stacked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God. All these affidavits we pass on to you, verifying that God raised up Christ, sheer fabrications, if there's no resurrection. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you are doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection, because they're already in their grave. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. There's a nice symmetry in this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ." And amen. That is the 21st verse.
Amen.
Amen.
God, we come before you this evening. We're so grateful for your death, burial, and resurrection. So grateful for salvation through you. We're so grateful for your presence in our lives and in this Bible study tonight. We invite you, even though you're already here, but we open our hearts and our minds so that we might be used by you somebody might be touched that might listen in to the program later on, that they might get a better understanding of you, that they might want to be a part of you, and that they might be uplifted by hearing your words and your people testifying. God, help us tonight as we study your word. Lead us by your spirit. We submit to you. Thank you, God, for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Nix, if we could start off with a roll call. And after we get the roll call, if you are ready to get going, then let's go, let's go, let's go.
I think to start out is you and I tonight. Maybe others that join us, or maybe others that perhaps don't want to say anything but listen in tonight. But we want to come to you tonight. We're talking about salvation this month. And today we're looking at the subject of salvation, Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection. And so we want to spend some time trying to understand and help maybe those that are listening in to understand how important Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is to our salvation, and to try to understand how that those events are instrumental in us having eternal life and being a part of God. So we just like to start out and I think for our listeners, Dr. Susie, you and I can maybe share Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We've heard a lot about it. There have been movies about it, documentaries, people trying to find Jesus' bones and trying to connect him with people saying he had a baby and all these kind of things. And they've been trying to disprove his resurrection from the time he resurrected. And even there are even some that try to say that he really didn't die, that he just he was in the spirit all the time and he really wasn't flesh. So they deny his death, and so they try to deny his association with humanity, where God said that in God's word, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. So there have been people that have tried to disprove his death, disprove his burial, and his resurrection. So, Dr. Susie, I just asked, I guess I want to start out with a question. You know, is one any more important than the other? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection we're talking about tonight, is one any more important than the other? And if so, why? And we have,
well, Dr. Nix,
yes.
That's a very very good question to process. And the reality for me is that they're contingent upon the other. You got to have the death in order to be able to bury him, in order to have a resurrection. So I think for me, they're all important. And if you don't have one without, if you can't have one without the other and get the same results. So my answer is that we have to have all of them. We have to have Christ dying for the sins of mankind. We have to have his burial so that they know that he was laid in the tomb and the dogs didn't eat his bones, that he actually was there. And his body that was laying down got back up, resurrected, and was visible by people who saw him and touched him to witness that, you know, he was dead, that he was buried in a grave, and that he got up again. And it's important, and they're all important. So that's my answer.
Amen. Amen. I think we have Brother Eric with us.
excuse me. Yeah, I'm with you.
Good evening.
Good evening. I would echo Dr. Susie that, you know, that they're all events that had to take place. So the importance is that God had to do a new thing, and to prove God's authority, if you will, the birth was important to show man that God loved man enough to come to earth. The death was important to show man that God loved man enough to die a death that was not deserved. And the resurrection was important to show man that God has all control, and the salvation of man is dependent upon God and not man's self. Because, you know, I think many times we forget that man is always trying to figure out how he can be God or replace God in his actions, his thoughts, you know, trying to gain knowledge and trying to do all this other stuff. As you say, disprove that Christ, you know, died, Christ was born, and everybody's always trying to figure out, you know, how to control their own destiny without the power of the Almighty. And the fact of the matter is, you can't. And so they were all important for specific reasons. And they all needed to be carried out in the way that they were carried out so that God could prove his authority and his love for mankind. And we missed that. We missed that God really loved mankind, and God really wanted, when he created man, was to have a relationship with him that was of a mutual agreement. And we still missed that.
Amen. Amen. I want us to kind of go on a journey a little bit before we go to 1 Corinthians 15:1-23, and for our listeners then, just to understand why God had that plan that Brother Justin is talking about. Let's look at Romans 21-31 very quickly, and then we want to get into 1 Corinthians 15. Can somebody read that for us? Romans 3:21-31.
Romans 3:21-31. I've got that in the New Living Translation. Bear with me. I'm having a little bit of issues with my eyes, but the devil is a lie, so let's push on. Romans 3:21-31, the New Living Translation. But now God has shown us a different way of being right in his sight, not by obeying the law, but by the way promised in the scriptures long ago. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. For all have sinned, all fall short of the glorious standard. Yet now God, in his glorious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. For God sent Jesus to make the punishment for our sins. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being eternally fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former time. And he is entirely fair and just in this present time when he declares sinners to be right in his sight because they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on our good deeds. It is based on our faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, God is not the God of the Jews only, is he? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There's only one God, and there is only one way of being accepted by him. He makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The message.
So, go ahead.
This is Dr. Susie. I was saying the readings for the messages is awesome as well, but we can go ahead, Dr. Nick.
Well, if you feel like you should read it, that's fine. I just wanted to get into a discussion of why the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is so important to us from this, but that message might help our discussion.
Okay. It says, but in our time, something new had been added. But Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we're utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself. A pure gift. He got us out of the mess we were in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by the means of Jesus Christ. God sacrificed Jesus on the altar of the world to clear that world of sin. Having faith in him sets us in the clear. God decided on this course of action in full view of the public to set the world in the clear with himself through the sacrifice of Jesus, finally taking care of the sins he had so patiently endured. This is not only clear, but it's now. This is current history. God sets things right. He also makes it possible for us to live in his rightness. So where does that leave our proud Jewish insider claims and counterclaims? Canceled? Yes, canceled. What we've learned is this. God does not respond to what we do. We respond to what God does. We finally figured it out. Our lives get in step with God and all others by letting him set the pace, not by proudly or anxiously trying to run the parade. Well, and what does that leave our proud Jewish claim of having a corner on God? Also canceled. God is the God of outsider non-Jews as well as insider Jews. How could it be otherwise? Since there's only one God. God sets right all who welcome his action and enter into it, both those who follow our religious system and those who have never heard of our religion. But by shifting our focus from what we do to what God does, don't we cancel out all our careful keeping of the rules and all ways and ways that God commanded? Not at all. What happens, in fact, is that by putting that entire way of life in its proper place, we confirm it.
Amen. Amen. So, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection are important, aren't they? for those that are listening in. I mean, what was just read was that, you know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God has prepared a way for us to be right with God. Last week we talked about the fact that it seems like some people don't even care about salvation anymore, that Satan has blinded our minds so much and confused us and deceived us so much that we don't even believe we need to be saved, or we think we don't need Jesus to be saved. And God's plan was always that Jesus would die for us and take away our sins for those that come to him. But it's so important to realize, those that are listening in, that everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we also see in this text about nobody has a right to boast. And I'd like for Brother Eric and Dr. Susie to kind of talk about that, because it seems like we're in a culture of boasting now. And we've been in that culture for a long time. I mean, people want to talk about how much they've done, how great they are, what I've done, you know, who I am. And there is no boasting. There should be no boasting in us being saved and delivered, because we didn't have anything to do with it. It's a gift to us. So I'd like to hear from Brother Eric and Dr. Susie on that, this text here.
Well, this is Eric. I mean, yeah, we have a culture it's creeped even more into the church, where we have people thinking that they can earn their way through good deeds or service, but that's not true. We cannot. We can only please God. We can only earn salvation, receive the gift of salvation. In other words, accepting Christ as our personal Savior, believing that he was born of the Virgin Mary, he died on Calvary's cross, he was raised again on the first day of the week, he ascended into heaven, sit at the right hand of God, making intercessions on our behalf. And yet we want to talk about what we have done and how we have made a difference and how, you know, we have done. But if we remember that, you know, God gave Moses the law, understanding that people weren't going to keep it. It was to show them just how sinful they were.
Amen.
And then you had the group that wanted to say, oh, well, if we live by the law and we serve God, the Pharisees and Sadducees, then, you know, then I can earn my right or my place. God was like, you were never going to keep the law anyway, because if you break one, you break them all.
Amen.
And you were never going to keep the law. And I didn't put it there for you to keep. I put it there to show you just how sinful you really, really were. Because, you know, the Israelites was off the chain when they left Egypt.
They were off the chain for quite a while, bro.
Yeah, well, it's true. They were off the chain before they left, but they really got off the chain once they got out there. And we're the same way today. We're off the chain.
We're off the reservation.
We're living the way that we want to, and it's contrary to what God has called us to do. But God knew that and gave us an advocate, a way to be righteous with him, which he did not have to do, which again proves to me, and this is Eric, proves to me just how much he loved mankind and wants to have that relationship, that you can be off the chain because it said no matter who you are or what you have done.
Amen.
That if you accept Christ, I mean, it's golden. So, that's all I got on
Amen.
That.
Amen. And I'm just dittoing what Eric said, maybe saying it a little different way, is that is the law ushered us to Christ. like he said, nobody could fulfill it. The law taught us and showed us that we needed a Savior. The law let us know that there's no way that we could, like he said, complete the law without, like he said, if you made one sin, you failed all of them. So there's no person who could be upright in that manner and not make a mistake. And so the law showed us our need for the Savior. So when the Savior came, you know, this is why we rejoice and because God had made a way for us even way back when to make him to set us right with him. So that's the loving God we serve, is that no matter what the situation and circumstances, God has already worked it out. All we have to do is just roll. Eric said that as a people that they were off the chain, if we just would roll with God, if we would just say, yes, sir, yes, God, yes, ma'am, what you want me to do, I got it. You know, instead of trying to, as the scripture was saying, run something. And I think that's what we were doing. We as a people, we always feel that we got to run something. And assert being gods, little gods. And God just wants us to submit and recognize that we have a need for a Savior.
Amen.
Amen, Dr. Amen. Susan. This is Eric. And I'll just add to that, if you'll allow me, that another piece of that is God knows who we are and what we are. And he just said, you know, when you come to your senses, when you come to your right mind, just confess what you've done and, you know, repent and move on. And that is so simple that we kind of blow past that. Oh, it can't be that simple. You know, I know what I've done. He can't forgive me for that. He says, yeah, he can give you for any and everything, except for there's one sin unto death, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a whole another category.
But Brother Eric,
yes.
What's so important about what you said is how people. I had a guy in one of my studies say to me, you know, like you said, God can't forgive me, and I said to him, if you don't believe, I asked him this. I said, do you believe that God died for you? And all he said, yeah, I do believe all that. It's just that I've made so many mistakes. I said, so you're saying what God has done on the cross is not good enough? That what God, the death and the severity of God's death wasn't good enough? That everything that God did wasn't good enough to cover your stuff? So if you really believe that, then you have demeaned, minimized the crucifixion, the pain, the agony just for you. God went through just for you, knowing that you would have these issues some 2,000 plus years afterwards. But God foreknew that, and yet you're saying it's not good enough. Now, if you believe that it is good enough and you just hadn't thought about that, then you need to rethink that and back up and then be grateful and humble for the fact that you've been included in the number. And as you've been included,
amen,
is because he values you and loves you so much so that he would sweat blood just thinking about what was to come. My God, we can't imagine the agony. We see it in depiction of drama, but we don't know. We can only imagine. And what I imagine is excruciating. And I praise God that I don't have to die on nobody's cross for my sins or nobody else's sins. I don't want to, and I'm just grateful that he was in my stead and that he loves me today and that he's standing with me today and tells me no matter what I'm going through, he will never leave me alone. Never alone. I don't have to worry.
Amen, but we got a little bit of a caveat to that is he died for all the sins of the world. those past, those present, and those to come.
Amen.
And none of us could do that, you know, but Christ did it, and God, you know, and Christ did it, reconciling man to himself. And I've, you know, y'all have heard me say this, and I do believe this, and we all fall short, and every day is a struggle. And we will only get to perfection when we leave here and meet Christ. Is that when we come to that realization, Dr. Susie, that you just talked about, I believe that our mind should shift to, I know I can't earn that gift that God has given me through Christ Jesus, but I should live in a way that shows that I appreciate receiving that gift.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That realizing that has transpired should make me live in a whole different manner, where I am showing God that I truly appreciate that gift that has been given to me, that I did not earn, that I did not deserve. And therefore, that's when we begin to live Christ-like. I mean, we show enough should begin to live Christ-like. And so when those thoughts come in, we all, you know, forgive me, Lord, I shouldn't be thinking that. Or when we make that statement to somebody that's not of Christ or of God, we say, you know, sorry, brother, sister, I was having a moment, but I'm back to my senses, and, you know, please forgive me for that. That wasn't the right way for me to handle that. And as opposed to what we normally do, we say stuff and you know, and say, well, they made me lay my religion down, or they did so-and-so, and that's on them. Now, we still should have control over our own being once we've accepted that gift, that glorious gift that God has made available to us.
Amen. Amen. So this is all, for those that are listening in, we're all talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But it's hard to talk about almost anything in our lives as Christians without reflecting on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that is the impetus. That's the means by which we've been changed. And I invite you to read 1 Corinthians 15:1-23. I want us to read that again, and I want us to get into a discussion about Christ's death, his burial, and then his resurrection. And I know we've already started talking about his death. So can somebody read that for us again, either Brother Eric or Dr. Steve?
Yeah, this is Eric. I've got it in the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians 15:1-23.
Yes.
Now let me remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and still now, I'm sorry, you welcome it then and still do now, for your faith is built on this wonderful message. And it is said, and it is this good news that saves you if you firmly believe it, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers. And at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too, long after others, as though I had been born at the wrong time. For I am the least of all the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church of God. But whatever I am now, It is all because God poured out his special favor on me. Amen. And not without results. For I have worked harder than all the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach. The important thing is that you believe what we preach to you. But tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ was not raised, then all of our preaching is useless. And your trust in God is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still under condemnation for your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ have perished. And if we have hope in Christ only for this life, we are the most miserable people in the world. But the fact is that Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first of the greatest harvest of those who will be raised to life again. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now another man, Christ. Oh, I'm sorry, through Adam. Now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. But all who are related to the other man will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was first raised. Then when Christ comes back, all his people will be raised.
Amen. Amen. So Paul is preaching here to the church at Corinth, and he's talking to them about the fact that they believed the good news of the gospel, and they still do, some of them. But then he talked about the importance of Christ's death. And Dr. Tuesday started talking about the death by which Christ died. And just wanted to take a few minutes on that. And Dr. Tuesday expounded on it very well. But for those that are listening in that may not have heard the story, what kind of death did Christ die? What kind of death did he endure?
Ooh, this is Eric. It was humiliating. It was painful. It was brutal. It was demeaning. And it was one that I don't think any of us could have endured. I mean, when you think of being whipped. Huh?
It carried the curse. It was
being hung on a tree. Yeah. But to think that it started with, you go to being arrested and you go through the trial, but to be beat with a lead tip whip to the point to where your skin is taken off of you and your blood is mingled with all the other body fluids just horrible. And then to be paraded through the streets that carrying your own cross, to be nailed to wood between in your hands I mean, and these weren't, you know, these weren't carpenter nails. These were railroad spikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be hoisted up against gravity where, you know, and to be jeered and prodded and spit on and you had done nothing wrong. I mean, nothing.
You know, Brother Eric, this reminds me of that bill that's out. And the one that's the blue, Ag Blue, where they're trying to fix it where the policeman can say anything and it'll, they could send someone to prison just based on what they say. And it's really frightening to me because I thought about when you just said how Jesus was lied on and died because of a lie, died because people in power wanted to get rid of him, died because somebody, human being, chose to be angry because they weren't getting the attention that they used to get, and people were following Jesus instead of them. I mean, and we have cops, and we have our politics, but people obviously haven't changed. And for us to continue to look at these types of laws where people will be going to jail, could be indefinitely, if you lied and said you did something to a policeman. I mean, I think this is ridiculous when we already have folks being caught in lies. The white woman who killed Terrence Crusher in Oklahoma she made money when they did a GoFundMe for her. She got paid for that. And then to protect her, she was losing her pension, so they raised money for that. And then after that, she got paid. And then now she's, after she went through that and they thought she was going to have some time to pay, she didn't have any time whatsoever and ended up working immediately for the sheriff's office right after she got through doing that. So she, not only she got some money, but she got paid and a new job. So injustice abounds. And it's just like the world gets worse and worse and worse when to the point to which we have leadership that are doing things that have become commonality or they're trying to make it acceptable that we philander and we have women and it's just frustrating. No ethics, no morals,
yes.
No values.
That's true, but you know, I guess I always have to throw this butt in there, but we got to remember that's not the final say. I mean, we see that in this plane, and it's not. It's, I mean, I've been struggling with that for the last couple of years of the lies that's been told on me and this job that I'm doing and trying to help this community and the people that are in power at City Hall and the stuff that they're saying, and it's all been proven to not be true, but yet they continue to say it. And I've had some conversations in my morning prayers with God and afternoon prayers and evening prayers. Like, I'm tired. I want out. I'm done. And yet the Spirit keeps telling me is that, but I put you in there, which means I got you. So it doesn't matter what they say or what they do or all that, I got you. So I'm going to turn what they meant for harm for you into good for you to continue to do what I asked you to do. And when we realize that it's the stuff that God has asked us to do and we accepted that assignment, then we need to get back to the place to where I don't care. And it's human nature for us to get down and us to get discouraged. But in our devotions and our prayers and our reading, we got to hear God talking to us saying, I got you. This battle is not yours. You didn't walk into that job by yourself, daughter or son.
I sent you into it.
That's right. And so if I sent you, I'm equipping you with everything that you need to do,
Lord have mercy,
my will. And to give me the glory that I am deserving of.
Let's go on to the next thing, Brother.
So, I mean, and that's real, because our people listening need to know that. You know, they listen to us, and you know, we are considered mature Christians and study the Word and preach and teach and all of that, and we've got a lot of them out there that are just listening, like, well, I'm not there. None of us got here overnight. For me, it's been 38, 39, 40-year journey. And I still struggle with those things. I know what they are, but I know enough now to know that I'm God's child. And if I'm God's child and I believe and trust and know God, if I got a relationship with God, God has a relationship with me, then he hears my cries. And you think back to when you were a child and the weather was bad or something happened, your parents heard your cries. They tried to make it better. They tried to see what they could do to alleviate that pain and that tension. How much more will God? He calls us. He doesn't call us his servants. We are his children. Christ said, I don't call you servants.
Or friends.
I call you brothers and sisters. I call you friends.
Amen.
So I just want our brothers and sisters to hear that tonight, that forge a forge an authentic relationship with God. Not what we see in you know, some places where, you know, people are talking about, oh, I'm a Christian, they you know, they go by church, or they may stop in and, oh, I'm spiritual, you know, oh, I don't need this, I don't need that. Form an authentic relationship with God where you are praying, you are studying, you are reading, asking the Spirit to guide and direct you and give you knowledge. You're building that, and then you get to the point to where, hey, I know I did wrong. That wasn't the right thing to say. That wasn't the right thing to do. It takes time. And if you, brothers and sisters, will commit to forging that relationship, God is always there. He's never left. He's waiting on us. He's never left from the time that he created Adam and Eve. He's never wavered or moved. We are the ones who move. He's just waiting for us to come back to him.
Amen.
Dr. Nooks, I know that ain't where you wanted to go, but I just had that on my heart.
It is. I mean, that's where God wanted to go, and it's all about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I mean, you can't have that relationship that you talk about if there were no death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul talks about that at the end of our text. He says that there were no resurrection, then our preaching is in vain. Our testimonies are in vain. I'm sort of editorializing what he said, but if there were no resurrection of the dead, and that's what separates Christianity from some of these other religions, some of these other faiths, is, first of all, Christ, who is God with us, but then also that he rose from the dead, and that's what so many people have tried to disprove down through the years, and the Sadducees even did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. So the Pharisees did, and Paul was a Pharisee, but the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. But the resurrection of Christ from the dead transforms everything. I mean, the fact that he rose from the dead is something that they've been trying to disprove. They can't, and many people will not accept it. But because he rose from the dead, we have new life. And that's what's so important. And Scripture says in John that, you know, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So we've got to believe that raised him from the dead, resurrection. is so important. And those that are listening in, I mean, there are people telling you all kind of things about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, and there are things that are troubling you in your life, and I know there are, because they trouble all of us, but Christ wants to be in your life, and Christ wants to touch you and reach you where you are, and save you where you are, and we want you to understand that salvation is something that is good, and it's something that we want for you, and God wants for you. And God sends people like us, and some of his people, to try to share with you the importance of that salvation and the fact that we need to walk in newness of life. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you messed up. And Paul testifies here that he shouldn't even be, he's not worthy to be visited by Jesus. He's not worthy to be an apostle. But yet Christ made him an apostle. Because he persecuted the church. And he said of himself, he persecuted it even unto death. So Paul was responsible for people dying and being in prison. He gave the church a hard way to go. But yet here he is testifying in this scripture about Christ and the importance of it, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Dr. Susie and Brother Eric, it's close to 8 o'clock, but perhaps you want to share something that with our listeners that they can take with them from this study of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Perhaps you have some closing words.
Yeah, so this is Eric. Go ahead, Dr.
Go ahead.
Ladies first.
The thing that jumps out on me for me, and it is so to me just so phenomenal how much God loves us. This is love that He loved us and gave Himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, even yet while we were enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we did
Amen.
Not care, when we did not love him, when we could care less, when we spat, when we did life and lived life, when we were bad, he loved me.
Amen.
When I was bad, and he loved me. It says he loved me when I was good. He loved me when I was bad. He didn't take away my future because of my past. He loved me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I'm good and when I'm bad. And that's the kind of love that
Amen.
God has for each and every one of us. That he will not take away your future because of the mistakes that you made. Just confess your sins, turn away from them, and turn towards God, and build the relationship of your life. You will not regret it. Your life will change.
Amen. This is Eric. For me, it is 1 Corinthians 15:21-23 that says, so you see, just as death came into the world through Adam, so you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. And it says we all are related. But then it says, but all who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life.
Amen.
We all are related to Adam through humanity. But all who are related to Christ through faith will get new life, which means the second part is a choice on our part. First part, we didn't have a choice because we're related to Adam through humanity by being born humans. But we have a choice in being related to Christ. And I pray that my brothers and sisters will make that choice that you will ask God, that you will ask Jesus to come into your life, to rest, rule, and abide and guide you, that you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior, and that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he died on Calvary's cross and rose again on the third day, the first day of the week, and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, and ask him to come in and take control of your life and surrender to him. And at that point, you will be saved.
Amen. Amen. And I just share with what everybody else is saying. I just like to share Isaiah 53 a little bit. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord delivered, revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should desire him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. So Dr. Susie talked about the love, and Brother Eric talked about Christ, having new life in Christ, and my sisters and brothers that are listening in, Christ loves you, and we want to extend to you and explain to you and try to share with you this love that we know and this life that we have in Christ Jesus. Dr. Susan, we turn it over to you.
Amen, amen. We're just so grateful tonight, Dr. Nix, to have the word, and we've all issued each of you the opportunity to accept Christ as your personal Savior. So we take this time now for those of you who've listened. This is your opportunity. This is your time to make that decision to accept Christ. It's this time that you have to open your heart, to let the Lord touch it, to soothe your fears and doubts by knowing that you will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. So for those of you who have prayed, you know, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, Lord Jesus died, buried, rose again for my sins, and that I want to live with Christ forevermore. So those of you who believe that, who've accepted that, we celebrate with you right now. In the name of Jesus, we praise God with you. Feel free to call us back, to email us, to let us know that you have accepted Christ by writing to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and we look forward to having you join us next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God's blessings be with you.
Blessings.
God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.